This is a CBC podcast. Just because we have Google doesn't mean parenting has become any easier. CBC Radio's national parenting columnist Diane Flax asks us to cut ourselves some slack. She explores the new, the funny, and the just plain rough side of life's most rewarding job. Download the podcast today at cbc.ca/podcasting.
As 2012 comes to an end, our ocean guy has been thinking back on the best, worst, and weirdest news about the oceans. Boris Vorm studies the oceans at Dalhousie University. Welcome back to Main Street, Boris.
Hi, Jackie.
Okay, let's start with the good news. What made you feel good about the oceans in 2012?
Before I go into this, I have to give a disclaimer. This is very personal. So this is what affected me or people around me or our province. It's not a global view of how the oceans were doing in 2012. So it's a pretty personal view on things. And I'd say what had me most hopeful was actually the visit by Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, at Dalhousie University in August, which I was involved in and we talked about on the program. And what struck me about it was here's a world leader who takes time out of a busy schedule, you know, European debt crisis and so on, and actually wants to learn about science, and not any science, ocean science in particular, about the oceans, the state of the oceans, what we can do. She came with real conservation concerns to us and said, can you help me with this? Can you tell me things about that? And that just blew me away because it's so unusual for somebody that high up in the political hierarchy to even think about these things and think about them quite deeply. And I think we kind of got to her because at a press conference a few weeks later, she said when she was asked what she would do if it wasn't for the European debt crisis, what she would prioritize, she said it would be the oceans and fisheries management and turning the tide for the oceans and making them a healthier place again. And I just thought that was enormous.
Oh, what do you think her visit to Dalhousie University meant in the current political context here in Canada, where our own federal government has been accused of executing a kind of war against science?
Yeah, it's certainly not a war on science, but there's a low appreciation of science, I feel, in the current federal government. And it's heartening then to see someone who is very important on the political scene globally, not just in Canada but everywhere, taking such a strong stand for the ocean and for ocean science. Angela Merkel is actually a scientist, so that's interesting. So she really understands that point of view, and she understands that good long-term policies are built on a solid understanding of the world we live in, and that to a large part comes through the eyes of science.
Do you think the Merkel visit is going to have an effect on Dalhousie University?
Well, Dalhousie is becoming a national and international hub for ocean science and being recognized as a world leader in ocean science. So it just adds to that profile, I think, and it makes Dalhousie a very attractive place to come to.
Okay, well, what about the bad news this past year? What stands out for you?
You know, I think I was most struck by the theme of ocean pollution. Just last week, we talked about microplastics, and we covered that story several times this year. And that concerns me. But kind of locally, the more pressing story I felt was aquaculture and the expansion of aquaculture, open net pen aquaculture for salmon in particular in this province, which is the provincial government is really pushing through, or that's the impression. There's a lot of resistance by local communities on Digby Neck, in the Shelburne area, in the Sheet Harbour area. There's concerns. Port Mouton, there was a big fight. So it appears that there's a lot of public concern around this issue and a lot of legitimate scientific concern around citing these large places where you're feeding, you know, 1 million, 2 million salmon. There was just last week an announcement that there were two new farms approved for Jordan Bay near Shelburne, which is a very shallow bay. Actually, the clearance underneath the cages at its shallows is only 3 meters to the bottom. And it's so it's a place that's probably doesn't have enough flushing to dispose of all the waste that that are created by millions of fish in those pens. And there are public concerns about the pollution, but also about the lobster habitat that's being impacted. There's a large amount of lobster in that bay, some of which are have eggs on them, and that's what makes the story important.
Do you think maybe the government has done the calculation and determined it's worth, you know, damaging a few acres of ocean floor in exchange for jobs? Or do you think they simply don't believe that there will be damage?
I'm not sure. I think what they see, and rightly so, is this is a big outside investor coming in and investing into rural communities that don't have so much going for them at this point in time, and where there's a need for employment and so on. So I totally understand that side of things. And to be sure, Nova Scotia has a very interesting and growing and diverse aquaculture sector. We have land-based farms, which are state-of-the-art, for species such as trout or sea bass, for example. We have oyster aquaculture, mussel aquaculture is doing very well. All of these have very low environmental impacts. It's the open salmon net pan aquaculture that's so much so controversial, because you're basically disposing of the waste that operation produces for free. And for that reason, actually just yesterday, there was a Canada-wide boycott announced of salmon products for that reason. This is not wild salmon, this is cultured, aquacultured salmon for that reason. And I think that just shows
boycott by who?
So this is a group of, coalition of community groups and environmental groups who are opposed to the expansion of open net pen aquaculture in Canada and want to see a moratorium. By the way, something that also some MLAs here in Nova Scotia from the Liberal and Conservative Party have asked for. So there's a lot of controversy around this, and I'm really curious to see where the story is going in 2013.
Let's end with the weirdest ocean story of 2012. What was it?
Oh, my favorite story. You know, I love sharks, and I have done a lot of reporting on sharks, and I work on sharks in my scientific research. But there was a story that just blew me away. And this is on a golf course in Southern California, just south of L.A., somebody playing his Sunday game of golf. And at the 12th tee, a shark falls from the sky.
What?
Yeah, so it actually rained on the golf course at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, and this guy just doesn't know what
to
think of.
A shark, a complete shark?
A complete 2-foot leopard shark fell from the sky. This is about 6 miles inland. It's not even really near the ocean. So this guy picks up the shark. The shark's still wriggling. Puts it in his golf cart, drives it to the manager. The manager gets a bucket of water, fills it, puts the shark in, puts some salt in because he's thinking this is a saltwater creature, may not survive in fresh water. They put him in the truck, drive him the 6 miles to the ocean, and release him on a beach called Baby Beach in Southern California, and the shark swims away.
How did the shark rain from the sky? Does anybody know?
It's the shark, I saw pictures of the shark. It had 2 puncture wounds near its dorsal fin. So the most likely scenario is that he was picked up by a bird of prey, maybe an osprey. Most likely a large bird of prey like that, picked up the shark. The shark was a little too large for him. He struggled with him. It flew inland and just at some point let it drop. And it dropped on the golf course and in front of someone who, you know, against all odds, cared for that shark and brought him back into the ocean.
Oh, dropped in front of the right person, actually.
Right person, yeah.
Right person, right time. Boris, thank you so much.
That was fun. Thanks.
Boris Vorm is our oceans guy here on Main Street. He usually drops by every second Tuesday at 20 after 4.
Looking for more CBC podcasts? Go to cbc.ca/podcasting.